Good evening, everybody. We're here tonight to discuss the Conference Committee Report for Senate File 1440, talking about the prescription monitoring program. Again, welcome staff, welcome members. Thanks for hanging in there tonight. In front of us, members, we have the what may be a agreement we've talked about. I think I've shared the information with Senator Rosen on this, and we'll have more conversation. My plans tonight are not to take any testimony, but I want to ask the audience if there's anybody here that wishes to testify or has any objections to that. I was not planning on taking any testimony, so if we're called upon, we may have that. Okay, that sounds good. If we could have that available if we need it, so that's the plan for tonight. So, members, in front of you, again, is the CCRSF 1440, which we'll be looking at. I'll make the motion to introduce this to the committee, and I will at this time maybe ask if Mr. Chun would just kind of go through the highlights of what we've talked about in the last 24 hours. Just update the committee, please.
So, Mr. Chair and members, I'll go through this draft, but mainly focus on the new language as the chair requested. Sections 1 and 2 are language that was identical in both the House and Senate bills. Then turning to Section 3, we turn to page 3, about the middle of that page. The new language would be the striking of the current law, paragraph E, and then adding a new paragraph E, which I believe is the sort of the compromise language, which basically allows retention in an identifiable manner for 4 years with an additional year to do a study by the Board of Pharmacy, and then effective January 1st of 2020, data older than 24 months is destroyed, and data reported on or after January 1st of 2020, there's a 12-month retention, and then the data is then destroyed. Then if you move to Section 4, at the top of page 4, this is lines 4.7 through 4.10. This was language from the A4 amendment, which was, I think, introduced yesterday. Then lines 4.21, 4.22, this is language that was identical in both the House and Senate bills. And the other difference is that the language allowing pharmacists to access the database in some cases without patient consent, that is no longer part of this draft. And then the remaining language in Section 4 was identical in both bills. And again, the repealer, Section 5, was identical in both bills.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chun. Members, discussion. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would appreciate Dr. Weiberg to come up and just explain the new language on the retention of the data and what that means to you, and if you will be able to have a clear picture of how the PMP is working after this, if there's enough data, enough collection time, and the holding of the data.
Welcome, Dr. Weiberg. Please give your name for the record, please.
Dr. Cody Weiberg, Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Pharmacy. Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, yes, this will give us what we need. We said that we need at least 4 years of identifiable data, according to all the experts we've talked to over the last 3 years, to do a really good comprehensive study. We asked to retain that for one additional year because a study of this magnitude is going to take some time to do. And so, yes, we will have that 4 years worth of data. We'll have a year to do the study, which we think is going to be sufficient to do the study. And then we're comfortable with the language, the rest of the language that then puts more restrictions back on the data retention at that point.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, I am fine with that. I think as long as Dr. Weiberg can say that what we need to have is the ability to look at this information to make sure that the PMP is doing what it's supposed to be doing, and if the Board of Pharmacy and Dr. Weiberg says that is appropriate, then I think we can
you. Any other members? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Dr. Weiberg, so could you be, just for the record, and because I still don't understand it after having listened to you numerous times explain what you want to do, tell us exactly what is the research question that you're going to be answering with this data that you will now be allowed to retain identified for, in some cases, 5 years?
Dr. Weiber.
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I don't actually think it's going to be one question. I think there are going to be multiple different questions we're going to look at. We're going to look at rates of doctor shopping. We are going to try to, if we can, identify areas of the state where we might have pockets of drug abuse and doctor shopping. One of the things, and one of the reasons we need 4 years data, and there are many, many examples, and I could give many of them, but I'm just going to give one more, because one I've already mentioned, is one of the things you want to know when you're doing a trend analysis is whether or not the patients you're initially identifying as potential doctor shoppers at the beginning of your study period have fallen off, and what's happening after that. Ideally, what we would like to see is it falls off and it stays off. But if it falls off a little bit, it goes back up, then what we want to do is we want to find out why. Are these initial people going back to doctor shopping, or are you getting totally new people that are doctor shopping? One of the reasons for doing that is it can help focus what the other departments that we're working with do. And so, for example, putting some of those together, if you find a particular area of the state where you weren't having a problem, and now you're seeing an increase in that area when the rest of the state is sort of getting better, then you go to DHS and say, this may be an area where you need to work with the local authorities to do some, much more aggressive prevention. And so I think there's actually a number of different things that we can study.
Representative Woodley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I've tried so many times to get a straight answer on this, and I get a little different answer each time, but I still don't get a clear one. Okay, so now this is the first time I've heard about this area of the state thing, frankly, and I don't want to beat this horse because we're not going to really get the answer. I mean, I'm still not really clear what the rates of doctor shopping are, but after this bill passes, I'm going to be asking these questions and continuing to demand answers to them because, Mr. Chair and members, I have looked very carefully at this language, and please, someone correct me if I'm misunderstanding it. First of all, it is quite confusing, and it took me a while to really parse through what it's doing, but some people's data is being kept now under this language identifiable for 5 years. Okay, I mean, I don't know if everybody understood that because I was told four, but the language actually, if someone had their data collected on January 1st, 2015, it will now be kept until December 31st of 2019. So we're talking 5 years for some people. And then as I'm understanding this new language, when you get to January 1st of 2020, which is kind of the cut point now when it says that now you're only going to keep 2 years of data, and then going forward, collected data is only going to be kept for 1 year. So then you have people who had their data collected on January 1st of 2018 are going to now have their data kept for 2 years, even after data is collected that's being kept for 1 year. So this is pretty confusing. And I don't know, let me just ask Dr. Weiberg, do you have ways of flagging this data and putting all these different time periods on it that are in the system that we're going to be assured that, because obviously this is going to treat different data differently depending on when it's collected. So do you have ways of flagging that and making sure these time periods are adhered to?
You asking a question?
Yes, okay. Mr. Chair, if I could.
Dr. Weiber.
Representative Liebling, yes, we do. We've had it from the beginning.
And maybe a question for me, too, Dr. Weiberg, as we kind of talked about this change today. I hear Representative Liebling's concern. I think, again, the intent was to try to keep it for 4 years You needed some time to put the study together, and you feel that 1 year is a reasonable time frame. Because, again, I think we do want to tighten this thing up as much as we possibly can. That's the time that you think is what you need. Dr.
Mr. Chair, yes. This is going to be a pretty complicated study. Probably going to have to contract out with maybe a researcher at the university to come in and help us actually put this study together. It's going to be a very complicated study using a large amount of data. Yeah. And like I said before, we're going to be looking at a great many of different variables and how they interact. And I don't know how we could actually do this study in less than 12 months.
Representative Liebling, do you have any further comments?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it's no secret that I oppose this. I think the language is poorly crafted. I don't think that Dr. Weiberg has made a case for why we need to do this, and certainly not why we need to keep anybody's data for 5 years identifiable now, which is more than was even in the original bill. So, you know, I don't know where we're going to get with this. I'm probably the only no vote, but I'm going to be a no vote, and I'm going to not sign the conference report with the Senate. I just think it's not justified. And, you know, I just do want to remind the committee that, you know, if I thought that this was going to reveal something that we really need this data to reveal, that this was really going to help move the science forward and we were going to really be able to know something and do something to impact the terrible scourge of opioid abuse, I would be willing to make that choice and say, Minnesotans, you're going to have to suck it up and let your data be in this database for 5 years because, by golly, it's worth it. But I am not convinced of that, Mr. Chair. And so with that, I'm going to, you know, it's almost 9:30 at night on a Saturday night. I'm going to stop talking and let you all vote.
All right, other discussion of the members? Other comments? Senator Rosen? Oh, sorry, Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. I wasn't going to say anything because I think that everybody's clear about how they think about this, but I did want to thank you. I know that we had quite a discussion, a robust discussion about this, and I feel like that the issues that we are concerned about in the Senate about making certain that we at least have the data long enough to get a meaningful look at whether or not what we, many of us, believe is one of many ways in which we can really have an impact on opioid abuse. The questions about whether it works or doesn't work are in fact studied, and so that we know whether or not we're getting the outcomes that we intended with this. So I just want to say thank you, that I think that I feel as though that was heard. There may be things in this I don't like going forward, but my principal concern is that this data be retained long enough to at least make a stab at trying to measure whether or not it's effective. So thank you.
Representative Zerwas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I'll make some brief comments. I, for one, support your bill. I support the idea of the PMP, and I've been on record as supporting more of an aggressive approach to the PMP, and really I looked at my role here as one of to represent our House caucus, and in speaking with several members of our House Republican caucus, including the chair of our Civil Law Data Practices Committee this morning, although she indicated she wouldn't be a green vote for this, she didn't, that the language did not raise alarms with her. And it's because of that I feel comfortable having this go forward and knowing that this is something that we can pass off the floor of the House.
I think just, and maybe too, I want to thank the members here. This is a complicated bill. One of the first words out of Representative Liebling's mouth was, how complicated this bill was, and boy, did I learn a lot about this data privacy thing as a first-timer here. But I think, Dr. Weiberg, again, I want to thank you for working with me and helping me educate my understanding of this complicated bill better. There's a lot of expectations on this report, and it came with sort of a lot of clout and a lot of work on our end. Obviously, I don't have full support on my House side yet, and we'll work hard for that. So I hope that at the end of the day, we have a heck of a report, that we're going to get some very valuable information that will help us continue to work hard to eradicate the opioid addiction issues, the prescribing methods, the all the moving parts out there that we have to deal with. And again, this is a very small step, but it's a good bill. It will get more people to the program, and we are hopefully and very optimistic that it'll do some good things. So with that, Senator Rosa.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to say what a pleasure it's been to work with you. It really has. And this has been a very difficult bill. We've been at this, it seems like, a long time. I know I've been at it a lot longer, along with many of my colleagues here. And I think this is one of the very important tools that we have. It may not be perfect. It may not be exactly what we all want. But I think it's one of the tools that we can start to use. And, of course, those tools are going to be changing. And it's not the end-all, be-all, but we are going to continue to work on this scourge. We have to, because I don't see a one certain tool that's going to come in and just start to see the decline, like in meth labs, where you can put the Sudafed behind the counter and sue the veteran. That made an obvious difference. But we have a tremendous amount of work going forward. And I also want to just say that I think it is clear that there can be a compromise made, that when you work hard enough that we can reach some agreement. When we're so divided on a particular bill, it does show that the process works. And it wasn't pretty. I didn't, you know, it's kind of like childbirth. You know, you end up apologizing after you have a baby for all the things you said. But that's true. But I look forward to working with you next year on more of our tools in the toolbox and really addressing this. And thank you, Dr. Weiberg, for your work. And thank Ms. Carter, too. I don't know where she's at tonight, but she's been wonderful to work with.
Well,
Mr. Weiberg.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, unfortunately, her husband was admitted to the hospital today for a actually potentially life-threatening condition, or she would have been here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Dr. Weiberg, give her our very best. And yep. Our prayers are with her and her family, so thank you for sharing that with us. She's been a great executive director for that, or a director of the PMP program. So,
with that, I would like to move Senate File 1440 as amended. Mr. Chair, be approved.
Members, we have a motion to approve the amendment. Any further comments? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
The motion carries. The CCRSF 1440 has been approved and passed. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.